snapped back out of it. He was sitting in a blue leatherette, foam-filled, swivel-seated office chair in front of a computer terminal. He relaxed. He was clinging to the face of an impossibly high peak, perched on a narrow ledge above a drop of brain-swiveling dimensions. It wasn't just the landscape being so far beneath him. He wished it would stop undulating and waving. He had to get a grip, not on the rock wall, that was an illusion. He had to get a grip on the situation, be able to look at the physical world he was in, while drawing himself out of it emotionally. He clenched inwardly, and then, just as he had let go of the rock face itself, he let go of the idea of the rock face, and let himself just sit there, clearly and freely. He looked out at the world. He was breathing well, he was cool, he was in charge again. He was in a four-dimensional topological model of the guide's financial systems, and somebody or something would very shortly want to know why. And here they came. Swooping through virtual space towards him came a small flock of mean and steely-eyed creatures with pointed little heads, pencil moustaches, and querulous demands as to who he was, what he was doing there, what his authorization was, what the authorization of his authorizing agent was, what his inside leg measurement was, and so on. Laser light flickered all over him, as if he was a packet of biscuits at a supermarket checkout. The heavier-duty laser guns were held for the moment in reserve. The fact that all of this was happening in virtual space made no difference. Being virtually killed by a virtual laser in virtual space is just as effective as the real thing, because you are as dead as you think you are. The laser readers were becoming very agitated as they flicked over his fingerprints, his retina, and the follicle pattern where his hairline was receding. They didn't like what they were finding at all. The chattering and screeching of highly personal and insolent questions was rising in pitch. A little surgical steel scraper was reaching out towards the skin at the nape of his neck, when Ford, holding his breath and praying very slightly, pulled Van Hal's Identi-Ease out of his pocket and waved it in front of them. Instantly, every laser was diverted to the little card and swept backwards and forwards over it and in it, examining and reading every molecule. Then, just as suddenly, they stopped. The entire flock of little virtual inspectors snapped to attention. "Nice to see you, Mr. Hall," they said in smarmy unison. "Is there anything we can do for you?" Ford smiled a slow and vicious smile. "Do you know," he said, "I rather think there is." 5 minutes later, he was out of there. About 30 seconds to do the job, and 3:30 to cover his tracks. He could have done anything he liked in the virtual structure, more or less. He could have transferred the ownership of the entire organization into his own name, but he doubted if that would have gone unnoticed. He didn't want it, anyway. It would have meant responsibility, working late nights at the office, not to mention massive and time-consuming fraud investigations, and a fair amount of time in jail. He wanted something that nobody other than the computer would notice. That was the bit that took 30 seconds. The thing that took 3:30 was programming the computer not to notice that it had noticed anything. It had to want not to know about what Ford was up to. Then he could safely leave the computer to rationalize its own defenses against the information ever emerging. It was a programming technique that had been reverse-engineered from the sort of psychotic mental blocks that otherwise perfectly normal people had been observed invariably to develop when elected to high political office. The other minute was spent discovering that the computer system already had a mental block, a big one. He would never have discovered it if he hadn't been busy engineering a mental block himself. He came across a whole slew of smooth and plausible denial procedures and diversionary subroutines exactly where he'd been planning to install his own. The computer denied all knowledge of them, of course, then blankly refused to accept that there was anything even to deny knowledge of, and was generally so convincing that even Ford almost found himself thinking that he must have made a mistake. He was impressed. He was so impressed, in fact, that he didn't bother to install his own mental block procedures. He just set up calls to the ones that were already there, which then called themselves when questioned, and so on. He quickly set about debugging the little bits of code he had installed himself, only to discover that they weren't there. Cursing, he searched all over for them, but could find no trace of them at all. He was just about to start installing them all over again, when he realized that the reason he couldn't find them was that they were working already. He grinned with satisfaction. He tried to discover what the computer's other mental block was all about, but it seemed, not unnaturally, to have a mental block about it. He could no longer find any trace of it at all, in fact. It was that good. He wondered if he'd been imagining it. He wondered if he'd been imagining that it was something to do with something in the building, and something to do with the number 13. He ran a few tests. Yes, he had obviously been imagining it.